You're listening to the Chicago Audible Podcast, changing up the way Bears fans stay up to date on their favorite team since 2015. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Chicago Audible Podcast. I'm your host, Will DeWitt, and I don't know about you, but I am excited to get back to our game week grind. After Chicago's bye week, it's time to buckle up the chin straps and get back to work. So to kick off our Week 7 preview, I sat down with Alex Salas of All Saints Considered, who explained everything that we need to know from his perspective on the New Orleans Saints. So without any further delay, let's go ahead and meet the 2019 Saints. Thanks for joining me today, Alec. I know our listeners, they're excited to learn more about the Saints as we prepare for what should be a very good Week 7 matchup between our two teams. I'm glad to have you on. How have you been?
Great, you know, and of course, thanks for having me on today. It's a real honor to be talking about all things Saints Bears, so I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great game.
All right, well, I'm going to just jump in. I have a few questions about your offense to start this episode. And obviously, Drew Brees, he's not really expected to play this week. And it's been Teddy Bridgewater running the show in his place. And I've seen some decent things out of Bridgewater. He's completing about 70% of his passes. He has 7 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions on the year. So, Alec, what I want to know is, what's Teddy doing well? What are his limitations for himself in this offense? And again, I'm just kind of looking for an overall assessment of how Teddy Bridgewater has fared under center.
Yeah, you know, it's really weird because I think Saints fans, and including myself, never really expected, of all people, Drew Brees to get hurt, right? And then to have the backup come in. But with Teddy and what he's done, Sean Payton has really, I think, limited the offense in a sense of, you know, Teddy's going to go out there and make throws, and he's not going to cost us the game, meaning little to no turnovers, which we've seen. The 2 picks, both came off of tip passes that were completely his fault. So, you know, Teddy's done a really good job in this offense managing it. And we saw a couple weeks ago in Tampa in a Superdome where he really kind of just let it all out. And, you know, that kind of is Teddy's limitation is, you know, Teddy is not going to be the guy who takes a lot of deep chances on the deep balls, but he can. And with that, he does hesitate and tend to hold onto the ball for a little too long. But that's really the only limitation I've seen so far with Teddy Bridgewater is just that, you know, in the plays that they're deep down the field, he holds onto the ball, you know, a little too long, and which results in a lot of sacks, which he's taken quite a few hits during his time so far. But, yeah, Teddy's a guy who's going to, you know, go out there, play quarterback, and not cost you a game. He'll make some good throws and some questionable ones, but that's just the growing pains of playing with a young quarterback, especially a guy like Teddy who really hasn't played, you know, the last 2 years before this year because of the knee injury. So they're just growing pains that you're going to expect. And look, with Sean Payton there, we know what he can do as a play caller. So he's going to get the most out of Teddy as a quarterback.
As a fan, do you feel like you've taken Drew Brees for granted? I mean, you guys had quite some stability at the position, so I'm sure it's weird having anything less than what usually he offers.
Yeah, because, you know, there were a couple of throws in the Jacksonville game in particular where, you know, those could have been big plays and big throws and touchdowns even. So I think we have been a little spoiled and treated too good as far as quarterback play for the last, you know, 10-plus years with Drew Brees. So and we're winning the games differently now, leaning more towards the defense and the running game. But it's just, you know, we do take Drew for granted and what he does and, you know, so it's a little different, but, you know, as long as we win games, I think that's the only thing that really matters right now for the fans. But, yeah, I would agree 100%. I think we've taken a little too spoiled.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous here in Chicago with our quarterback situation that never seems to stop. But moving on to the Saints backfield, Alvin Kamara, obviously he's the threat here. He's been nursing looks like a slightly significant ankle injury. So we don't know his status until later in this week. But obviously he's that dual threat. We've all known what he can bring to the table. And then you have Latavius Murray. He's been sprinkled in as well. And he does have the same yards per carry as a Kamara with a 4.3. So I just want to know, Alec, what should Bears fans know about both of your running backs heading into this game?
Well, I think, you know, the one thing you got to know is, look, yes, Alvin Kamara is dealing with a, you know, pretty significant ankle injury. He's expected to be limited all week and then give it a go come game time. And we know what Alvin Kamara does, right? He's an all-around feature back. He can do everything for this offense. And I'm just going to expect a lot more Latavius Murray in this game. And with Latavius, he's kind of that same value back as Mark Ingram was when he was with the Saints. He's a really good inside, between the tackles type runner. He could take it to the outside. Also, he is very underrated as far as the pass catching game goes. He could take a pass and make the most out of nothing. So, really, look, on the road in Soldier Field, we know how it is playing in Soldier Field. So I expect a lot more ground and pound in this game with the Saints, whether it's with Alvin Kamara or with David Turner. But these are both two very talented backs, as Sean Payton likes to get involved early and often with all sorts of screenplays. And, you know, and with Sean, you never really know what you're going to get. I mean, he has Taysom Hill doing everything, and he's a third-string quarterback. So, but I expect a lot of Kamara and Murray, but a little more leaning on the Murray side.
All right, well, looking at your receivers, obviously Michael Thomas, he's the player to pay attention here in the passing game. He's averaging 105 receiving yards per contest. He has more catches than anyone else on the Saints has targets, and he is the NFL's second most productive receiver so far this year. So for fans who maybe don't get a lot to see a lot of Michael Thomas, maybe besides maybe fantasy teams, what makes Thomas so dangerous?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that make Michael Thomas dangerous, to be honest. But I think the things that make him stand out from the others is, you know, his route running and his footwork off the line is incredible. He runs some of the cleanest, crisp routes that I've seen. Also, the fact that, you know, his Twitter handle is "Can't Guard Mike," and I feel like that is true because he makes so many contested throws. Contested catches, and just makes all these ridiculous catches against some of the best DBs in the NFL. And you look at his production from when Breeze got hurt and then when Teddy took over, it has not dipped one bit. He's still out there proving that even without a quarterback like Drew Breeze, he can still put up numbers with anyone. And that's just what he is. He's a guy who you can throw it up to him, and, you know, he'll do whatever he can to come down with the football. So, you can't guard Mike. It's true. It's quite true, honestly. He can make all the catches, really good route running and really good feet work.
Is there anything that we should know about the other contributors on offense, like a Ted Ginn Jr. and tight end Jared Cook? Have they been overly involved? It doesn't seem like it volume-wise, but I'm sure their impact has been felt every week.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think if you go back to the Tampa Buccaneer game, when matched up against smaller DBs, Sean Payton really tried to get Jared Cook out there more as a wide receiver, whether it was outside or in the slot. And, you know, that can very well be the game plan again, going up against a player like Prince Mukamara. That could be a guy who could match up on Jared Cook, depending where they move him around. But really, other than Jared Cook, Teddy's been a couple of nice plays. Really, it's just been a two-man show offensively between Kamara and Thomas. So somebody's going to need to make a play or two, but we'll see what happens.
Now, with what I can gather, looking at the Saints offensive line, they've been a pretty decent job overall this year as a unit. But I'm curious, can you give us the scoop here? Is the entire unit solid, or do you have a potential, you know, weak point up front that the Bears can potentially exploit?
Yeah, you know, if you look across his offensive line, rookie center Eric McCoy, the second-round pick out of Texas A&M, has really stood out and played so much better than I think people expected this year. He kind of came in and filled in for Max Unger almost immediately became the day one starter. He's been phenomenal. Ryan Ramczyk, who has been collecting names left and right, has been the NFL's best right tackle. And can really just do it all from an offensive lineman perspective. Larry Warfield's a two-time Pro Bowler since he joined the Saints 2 years ago. Of course, we know what Teron Armstead can do when he's fully healthy. If I had to pick a weak point, it would be left guard Andres Pete. And I say that because he's not the most athletic lineman. He does get beat inside fairly easy. And if I had to pick a weak point on the offensive line, it would be that left guard spot where Pete is at. But he's still a very good, above-average starter.
Now, as good as the offense has been, they do tend to keep a lot of points off the board due to some, I'd call, below-average red zone play. Sixth worst in the NFL in the red zone, only scoring a touchdown on about 44% of those trips inside the 20. So can you tell us what's behind these red zone struggles?
I think it has more to do with just Sean adjusting to how Teddy plays. Because with Drew, with Drew, your whole playbook is open, right? You can call whatever you want, or Drew can audible in and out of whatever he wants. It feels like it's going to be the best play possible. With Teddy, you have to get slower. You got to limit some of the plays. And also, let's not forget, now that Teddy Bridgewater is a starter, Taysom Hill is the primary backup. Which means the plays that Hill has, those also are limited because Taysom Hill does a lot of things as a blocker, a runner, and a receiver. So you take those out of the playbook because they can't risk hurting Taysom Hill. So, again, with Teddy does things differently than Drew. They're just two different quarterbacks. And Sean has to limit the playbook just because he doesn't know it all like Drew does. So, it's been frustrating to say the least, but if you have Will Lutz on your fantasy team, then hey, I mean, you're loving it, right? But yeah, it's just contributing to, different quarterback play, and also they have to limit Taysom Hill in the red zone because he can't play as much as the number two. So it takes a good portion of the plays out in the red zone.
All right, let's switch over to your defense, and let's begin with that defensive front. Edge guys like Cameron Jordan and Marcus Davenport, they've been able to leave their mark with over 8 sacks and 60 combined pressures on quarterbacks this year. Why have they been so successful?
And, that's the thing. We knew what we were going to get out of Cam Jordan, right? He's off to a really good start, one of the best defensive ends in football. Flipping over to Davenport now, this is the guy that the Saints traded up last year for, and they even traded away this year's first-round pick to acquire him. And I know the sack numbers, I believe he has 3 right now, which that's good numbers, but if you look at the pressures that Davenport has had this year, the things that don't show up on the stat line is what stands out with Marcus Davenport. He's getting pressure. He's getting up through the quarterback's face. He's really taken that next step into becoming a freak athletic defensive end in the NFL. So between those two guys and the guys in the interior, this is a really good front four and probably the best. Also, it's the best front four they've had and the very deep in talent on the defensive line. So it's a really good front four, really good depth. And it's the best they've had here in a long time down in New Orleans.
Now, I want to know, what kind of year has linebacker DeMario Davis been having? I saw that big hit last week in Jacksonville, but he's also the leading tackler on the team. So what does Davis provide to this defense?
There's a lot of good things that DeMario Davis brings to the team. I'll say right now, he's probably been the best free agent signing we've had probably since Darren Sproles, maybe 2011. And if you want to go further than that, they traded for Jonathan Vilma in 08. So really, he's been a standout player. He's been the absolute leader of this defense. He stepped up as far as the leadership role is concerned with Breeze out. He stepped in and kind of taken over the pregame huddle. And what he brings, he's just an athletic linebacker. He can go sideline to sideline. He's all over the place. He's a really good blitzer. He's a really good pass coverage. He kind of just does it all for this defense. And he's a really good player. Very underrated, I think, in what he brings to the table. And he just, something about Saints and Jet linebackers, because he reminds me a lot of Jonathan Vilma in his prime. I love Jet linebackers, to say the least. But really good player, very good all-around player.
Alec, would you be able to give us like the lay of the land for the Saints secondary? It appears to be a pretty decent unit with guys like Marcus Williams, Marshawn Lattimore, Eli Apple, and Von Bell. So I want to know, when you look at the secondary so far this season, what have been the strengths and also the weaknesses of this unit?
Well, you know, and again, 5 years ago, if you told me the Saints were going to have a good secondary, I would have laughed, because they've always had one of the worst in the NFL. So starting off with Marshawn Lattimore, who I think is right now entering the best part of his career. He shut down Amari Cooper on Sunday Night Football 3 weeks ago. He shut down Mike Evans 2 weeks ago, and last week shut down DJ Chark of the Jaguars. He's on a roll right now, and I expect him to continue it. He's really taking the next step as far as a premier shutdown corner in the NFL. And a guy who's also having a very good year that no one is talking about is Eli Apple, the number two. He's been very good. And even when Lattimore struggled a little bit earlier this year, Eli Apple has been consistently good all year so far. And it gives the Saints a really good two-man corner on the outside. It really does. And you look at the safeties of Von Bell, who I think really has taken the next step into being really good safety in the NFL. When he came in 2016, he was more of a box safety and a blitzing kind of safety kind of guy. But really this year, he's taken the next step as far as being a really good pass coverage safety and playing the deep ball. And he can actually play deep now. He's become an all-around good player. And Marcus Williams, we know what happened in Minnesota a couple years ago, right? And last year kind of, took maybe a backward step, if you could say. This year is off to a really good start, two picks. Had a couple of nice pass breakups against the Jaguars last week. And maybe it looks like he's found his confidence again, and his ability to be that ball hawk safety we saw his rookie year before the Minnesota game. And, the weakness of the secondary is going to be the nickel spot. P.J. Williams, who was our starter, is suspended for the next two games without pay due to a substance abuse, which I believe goes back to DWI he got during this after the NFC title game. I believe that's where that is coming from. So that means likely either Patrick Robinson, who is the veteran, who's with the Eagles 2 years ago, helped them win the Super Bowl, came back to New Orleans. He was a former first-round draft pick. Either him or Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, the rookie, will get the start in the nickel. One of them will get the start, and I expect that to be kind of the weakness per se. But still, all around, it's still all around a very good secondary. So we'll see what happens.
Now, I talked about your offense in a red zone, so I have to bring it up with the defense, because when I'm looking at the Saints this week, I see some inconsistency down in the red zone. They're allowing touchdowns on 60% of the trips this year, and that's near the bottom of the league. But then I see what they did against Jacksonville, and they didn't allow a single touchdown in the red zone despite allowing two different trips. So what did they do well last week that you hope kind of carries over?
Well, I think that just carries with the confidence the secondary has, really, because Marshawn Lattimore was pretty much locked down DJ Chark the whole game. They had Eli Apple lined up on D.D. Westbrook most of the game, and he kind of followed him and trailed him and kind of locked him out as well. And then when you can do that and have two safeties over the top kind of just free roaming, and look where the quarterback is going with the ball, it really just gives you that flexibility to kind of just find the ball in that sense. So, because the defensive line was good last week, but it wasn't as good as we've seen against Dallas or Tampa, per se. But I think the secondary last week really stood out to me. And the thing is, the Saints make Gardner Minshew try and beat them with his arm and throwing the ball, and he couldn't. So I think that was the key to the victory last week. In particular, such a good defensive performance was by that secondary.
All right. Now, obviously, we've been talking a lot about the Saints offense and defense. Obviously, and you're the expert on this team. Is there anything else that you think that our listeners would benefit from learning more about when it comes to the Saints? Because obviously, I'd love to learn more, and I'm sure they would too.
Yeah, you know, I think the game plan this week is going to be kind of the same thing last week against Jacksonville, to whereas whether it's Chase Daniel or Mr. Bisky, I think the Saints are going to rush four with their front four and get the pressure on Mitch and try and shut down the run game first and make Trubisky beat them with his arm and or Daniel, whichever one, whoever is playing quarterback. And we'll see what happens there. But I'm expecting another very good defensive game between these two teams. It's going to be a low-scoring game, to say the least. But expect the Saints to shut the run game down and make Trubisky beat him with his arm. And we'll see if he can do that or not.
All right, so I just have one final question. It's a two-parter. It's how I end every Meet the Opponent episode. The first part of this question is, why will the Saints win? I like that already. Let's keep it up.
That's assuming you think I'm going to think the Saints are going to win this game, right?
Well, yes.
Well, you know, this would be a very tough game. No question about that. The Bears are still a very good team. Matt Nagy is a very good coach. If the Saints do win this game, it's going to be because of their defense. And like I said, I think they're going to try and make Trubisky, if he's playing, they're going to try and make Mitch beat him with his arm. And, you know, through the first couple of weeks, Mitch didn't look all that, you know, impressive passing the ball. So I think that will be the reason why, is because the secondary locks down the receivers and tries to make Trubisky force throws and beat him with his arm. And I just don't know if he can do that.
All right. And now here's the flip side. Maybe this one's easier for you. What's it going to take for the Saints to end up losing this game?
The easy answer is going to be Khalil Mack, right?
Sure. I can get behind that.
Yeah, that is the easy answer. But, you know, and again, I think the gameplay for the Bears will probably be almost identical to the Saints as far as let's clamp down the run game here and make the Saints one-dimensional, make Teddy Bridgewater beat us with his arm and make him make those precise throws. And I think that is what the Bears are going to do. I think that could be a key to their victory as well, because look at the secondary for the Bears. It's a very good secondary. It was Udomu Kamara, Kyle Fuller, Ha-Hawk Lindix, and Eddie Jackson. So I think the game plan, again, is very similar for the Bears. To shut down the run game, make the Saints one-dimensional, and make Teddy beat it with his arm. And on the road, in an outside like field, I might add, not like in a dome, but like in an outside field, I just don't know if Teddy can make those throws in that kind of environment. So yeah, both teams should just copy each other's game plans defensively, because it's going to be one of those kind of games, I think.
All right. Well, hey, Alec, I mean, that's all I have for you today. I want to, again, thank you for the time that you took to hop on our show. I appreciate it. Our listeners appreciate it. And I'm sure we all appreciate your lack of confidence heading into this week. All right, that'll do it, Bears fans. I hope that you enjoyed Alec's insight on the New Orleans Saints. Up next is our weekly preview episode, as Nick and I will take a look at how the Bears stack up in all three phases and much more, including our weekly predictions. And you better bet we're going to have a discussion on the two big names that landed on IR this week. But until then, Bear down, Chicago.